What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Well, here we are. And of course, the Derek Shelton Show is brought to you by your local Parmar stores. Remember, there's not a Parmar store near you now. There will be soon. And of course, Derek, I welcome you into the show. And I know that you're going to be very, very sad, but it's just me today. You don't have Joe. And of course, you don't have Cook. One guy is on the beach. The other guy's on the golf course, and I get to sit here and do radio. How about that?
Yeah, I don't know. How does that work for you? I mean, do these guys, you need a better agent. I mean, these guys are negotiating. I mean, does Starkey just take off to play golf? And City Limits told me he's already called in to check in. You know, I mean, he should at least trust you to do your job.
No, really. I mean, the guy's at Laurel Valley Golf Course, and he's worried about what we're doing here. Think about that.
Yeah, it seems to me like if you're going to really focus on your golf game, you should focus on your golf game. You shouldn't do things half in, half out. And that sounds like that's the way he's doing today.
No, that's the way. The guy gets more days off to golf than most like insurance agents I know. I mean, it's incredible.
I'm not making any comments about insurance agents. I don't want my rates to go up.
True. Absolutely true. The good news is, Derek, that we had Destiny's Child on a little bit ago, and he solved all your problems. So, everything that the Pirates need to do over the next 3 weeks, he's got it all figured out for you. So you could just talk to him today, you know, when you see him, and he'll let you know what to do.
I feel great about that. So, I mean, then we can talk about other things. We can talk about fun things. If Destiny's Child's got it all figured out, I mean, that makes my day.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's got, you know. You guys, obviously, Sunday, a good way to get out of Atlanta and get you ready for a very, very big, what I would consider a big homestand for you guys, especially, you know, you've got the Cardinals in the next three games and the Mets. These are all teams that you're going to be fighting, you know, for a wild card spot with you. But back to Sunday, it's amazing the fact that you guys were able to, you know, get that out of, I believe it was Bailey Falter that day, who you know, looked like he was maybe, I don't want to say fatigued, but it looked like maybe he was struggling a little bit or swimming a little bit, and then all of a sudden he comes up with that performance.
Yeah, I mean, really good performance. I think, like you said, the first night, you know, we played well in Cincinnati, really swung the bats well. Went to Atlanta the first night, didn't play well. Last night, I mean, we got beat in extra innings against one of the best teams in the National League and really, you know, played two really well-pitched game. And then Bailey came out and gave us a good performance. I mean, we had the 11:35 start, which is a little unheard of in Major League Baseball. It was about 2,000 degrees. And, you know, I don't know if I told it, I said after the game, I don't know if I've ever seen a pitcher that's been that red on the mound. So the fact that he was able to give us five and then our bullpen was good. And then we added on, you know, Cruzy with the homer, Rowdy with the homer, and overall good to get out of there with the victory because that's a good ball club down there.
Yeah, they're really good. And, you know, what's scary is obviously they're missing their best player. I mean, if he was with that group, I mean, that team, you know, he's hurt, obviously. But if he was with that group, that team would be even more scary. But, you know, overall, you played two really good games Saturday and Sunday. And that's, as a manager, right, that's really all you can ask is you play really good games and you hope that, you know, that, you're a couple of guys execute enough that you win.
Yeah, and I mean, I think as you well know, in the Saturday game, I mean, we hit probably three or four balls. You know, Yaz hit a ball in the gap, Kutch hit a ball. We couldn't get a ball to fall in the outfield, and I think their outfield defense was the difference in that game, which it ended up being our outfield defense was the difference in Sunday. I mean, Swinski making the diving catch, Michael Taylor making an unbelievable catch in the ninth, and there was the tale of the two games. I mean, played really well, and they caught the ball and on Saturday, and we caught the ball on Sunday, and that's how the games came out.
Saturday, obviously, was the game where there was a weird play in the 10th inning with the slide at home plate. You know, just kind of talk us through that. And I mean, I don't remember if you did. You come out and talk to the umpires. I mean, what did you see, and kind of what happened?
Well, I think the biggest thing is you know, if there's any learning lesson to it at all. I mean, Olivares beat the ball there. It's just when he slid, his front foot was up, and you have to slide with your front foot down. It's something that, you know, we've been talking about for a while now. You know, sliding into second with the way the reviews are, you have to keep your feet down. I mean, I think the other question, like looking at it now, is like, do you just run through the bag completely? Because then the pitcher's got to catch the ball and tag to, you know, almost like the play in Oakland and New York a few years ago where Jeremy Giambi ran through the strip bag. But because the pitcher's on the other side, do you just run through the bag? But overall, the play ended up not going our way, and it ended up being, you know, a determining factor in the game.
I think sometimes it's Derek. I think, well, you know, obviously we're in the business of critiquing everything, and I think fans are by nature very critical. I think every so often, you know, yes, he didn't get his foot quite down. I mean, it popped up a little bit, but every so often, it's okay to give the other team credit, because I thought that Hernandez made an incredible play running down from the mound to catch the ball and get that tag down. That was a hell of a play. I mean, it was one of those things where if everything didn't go exactly the way it went, he would have been safe anyway.
Yeah, 100%. And I appreciate you saying that, because I think on the flip side of that is if Olivares doesn't run, and again, by nature, I mean, by human nature, we're critical. If Olivares doesn't run and then we get, you know, strikeout, everybody would say, well, why didn't he run? Because right. He would have been safe. And they made a baseball play, and it didn't work out for us. And that happens sometimes. And to your point, you have to give credit. I mean, D'Arnaud made a nice, you know, he got a great hop, which sucks. And then, you know, he made a good throw, and they made a good play, and it ended up being the difference.
Yeah, I mean, and that was actually sort of my take when I watched it in slow motion like two or three times. I'm like, well, obviously Olivares needs a slide better, but boy, that dude made an incredible, that to me, those plays like that I think are very underrated, because that was a really difficult play he made in so many ways. So you get out of the road trip, you're 3-3. One of the interesting things about your club is that it's been since your first five games, you were 5-0, that you've won more than three in a row. It's been since, I think, the beginning of May that you've lost more than three in a row. So you've sort of had this process of winning one, losing two, you know. It's just sort of been your cycle. I mean, is it a frustrating thing for you that you can't string things together, or do you just kind of have to keep grinding?
No, well, we have to keep grinding, number one, and we have to keep figuring out ways to win. But, yeah, it is frustrating, because I feel like we play well in, you know, a couple games in a row, and then, you know, we do something that costs us a game. So I think the consistency factor is something that I really hope that we can build on in the second half of the season. I mean, we're past the midway point, so that is something that I really hope we can build on.
Yeah, so, looking at your bullpen this weekend, I mean, Majinski, Holderman, even the Nicklaus, and you know, Aroldis, going 2 days in a row, but you've got to feel really good about what your bullpen can be down the stretch. I mean, I think over the last, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, now you're getting guys healthy. It really kind of feels, especially when you get Bednar back, it really feels like that is legitimately going to be a team strength, like we all thought it would be at the beginning.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, we get Bednar back. We get Baruchy back, who's out on a rehab assignment right now. You know, I think one of the things, and we talked about it last week, positive, which you never want a positive of a guy getting hurt, but when someone gets hurt, other guys have to step up. And I think we've seen, you know, especially in Sunday's game, like you pointed out, Nicklaus step up, two really strong innings against a really good lineup. Majinski pitched the eighth inning. Those kind of things are going to help us in the long run, because the more that we can lengthen out our bullpen into a situation where we have different guys that can pitch leverage, because some of the struggles that we've had, like you pointed out, is, you know, we've had some leads in some games and guys haven't been in a situation to cover those innings because our leverage guys have been down. Now I think we're growing into that, which will help us in those situations.
You know, one of the things, and I find it, well, found it interesting, you were talking last week about guys that have velocity and throw really hard. You know, they kind of are the kind of guys that, you know, that get sent to the, you know, that get pushed to the majors, because those are the kind of live arms that you're all looking for. This Nicholas kid, he throws it really. He's got one of those arms you're describing, isn't it?
Yeah, real. I mean, really is really good stuff. You know, fastball up to 99, power breaking ball, power slider, power curveball. Just, you know, sometimes it's getting your feet wet in the big leagues. I mean, it's not as easy as it looks, and, you know, you have some struggles early on. I really think the turning point for Kyle was the Dodger series. I mean, he gave up a run in the first inning. He bounced right back. He had to get through Betts and Ohtani, and sometimes it's just realizing, like, hey, I can get the best hitters in the world out. My stuff is good enough to do that. And we're talking about a 23-year-old kid here with really good stuff, but, you know, sometimes it's just getting those outs, knowing he can do it, having the confidence. And I think we see that continue to grow. I mean, I really was proud of him. You know, Saturday he gave up the double that ended the game, and he's in a tough spot coming in extra innings. But he comes right back out on Sunday, two big innings, has to come in and go through the heart of the order. I mean, we're talking Asuna, who maybe is the best hitter in baseball right now, Olsen, Albies, all guys that are all-stars. So I think those are really big growing moments for him and for us.
Yeah, for the most part, you guys handled Osuna pretty well, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. We did a really good job with him. I mean, and that's a tough lineup to navigate. I know Martin gave up a double to him the first night, but, you know, it's one of those things, like, you look at most lineups and you're like, all right, if we get through these two guys, we're all right. But, I mean, they just continue to throw really good at-bats at you, and it's why they had six All-Stars last year. And, again, they're doing it without Acuna, who – you know, quite possibly may be one of the two best players in the game.
The calendar has flipped to July, and so obviously, you know, there's still a lot of baseball to play, but, you know, now you start to creeping into, you know, where it's probably a critical stretch for you guys. You got the Cardinals coming in. This is, do you look at it as a big opportunity for you?
I really think it is. You know, any time in the division, especially with the way the schedule is now and their less division games, these division games are really important. The Cardinals are playing better baseball, and, you know, it's going to be a big series for us.
Yeah. Pitching matchups for you, what can you tell us about Cal Gibson tonight and Nicholas tomorrow, and then Ponte on Thursday?
Yeah, Kyle Gibson and Nicholas both. I mean, field-to-pitch guys that are veterans, you know, have the ability to throw four or five pitches, which is, you know, really interesting. That they're guys that pitch to contact, so we really got to make sure that we don't chase. And then Pallante is kind of a weird guy we faced. I mean, a weird guy in the fact that he's extremely reversed, right-handed hitters hit him better. But it's going to be a good series. I mean, you know, with the pitching matchups we have going, you know, Keller and Jones and Perez going, it's going to be a good series.
Perez, obviously, his back, and you know, when you come off an injury, it can maybe take a few times to get some of the rust off. What did you see from him? I guess it was Friday, and what are you looking for, you know, him when his next start on Thursday?
Yeah, I think a rust off is a really good way to put it. I mean, he looked like he was a little rusty. The changeup wasn't as effective. I do think the fastball and the cutter were you know, good pitches, and he got some weak contact with it. Some of that weak contact landed in the outfield grass, which ended up hurting him. The biggest factor was the changeup. The changeup just hasn't been as effective as it was earlier in the year, and it's something that is one of his bread-and-butter pitches, and something we expect is just going to continue to get better.
So you talked about Bednar. You talked about a couple of the other guys. Do you have a little bit of some timelines on some of these guys coming back?
I think we'll have a better idea over the next week or so. You know, Bednar is still, you know, not out on a rehab. Brucky is out on a rehab. Marco Gonzalez threw last night. We will have a better idea probably in the next week. We got to get these guys built up. I mean, obviously, Marco's a starter, so that's going to take probably a little bit longer than Brucky is. And, you know, getting home and seeing Betty will be a really good thing for us.
Yeah. You have, after the Cardinals, you have the Mets, clearly another team you guys are right there in the battle with. So seven games at home. Obviously, you want to win all your home games, but it's important for you guys to have a winning record here, right, and win more of these than you lose.
Yeah, I mean, and we're playing two teams that are playing really well. I mean, so like you said, it's a big homestand for us. I mean, the Mets are probably playing better baseball than just about anybody in the month of June since they got J.D. Martinez back or, you know, actually healthy. And the Cardinals have played better baseball as of late. So big homestand for us, and I think we're pretty fired up about it.
Are there any guys in Indianapolis or Altoona that you have your eye on that could be looking at, you know, maybe a possibility of helping you guys here in the near future?
Yeah, I mean, we have some guys down there that are playing well. I mean, these guys are not guys that I think are in our near future, but I do think it's you know, really cool. As you've probably heard, Tamar Johnson and Bubba Chandler have made the futures game, which I think is important. Bubba's pitched really well as of late. So you know, we have other guys down in AAA that are performing, and you know, at some point may get an opportunity here, but overall, I think it's the big thing is just continuing to make sure we play well here.
Right. I mean, you got guys now. You had Brian Reynolds and Rowdy Tellez had incredible months for you. I mean, baseball is such a long haul and such a grind. Obviously, there'll be probably a little regression from those guys, but how do you keep them going? You know what I mean? Like when guys are just in a zone like that, how do you keep them going?
Well, I think the biggest thing with offensive players when they're going well is they got to make sure they don't go out of the hitting zone. When guys, and I think Brian did such an unbelievable job of this in the month of June, is that when guys start to swing the bat well, they want to try to do more. And when they try to do more, they start to swing at more pitches. And what that ends up causing is guys going the opposite way. And Brian and Rowdy both did a really good job in the month of June of not trying to do more, just staying within their zones, swinging at the right pitches. So the biggest focus is just make sure they don't chase because they think they can hit everything.
Well, we've got about two more minutes, and so city limits. So, Derek, everyone accuses us, especially me, of never asking tough questions. So we allowed these fans to text us. There was a good question. We sifted through them. There was actually a good question. We want to make sure that we have this. So, city limits, what was the question that we decided was worthy of asking, Derek?
Yeah, Shelty, the one that we wanted to get to is just the idea of small ball when it might be a low-scoring game or when Skeens is pitching, just in general. The idea of maybe after a walk, bunting a runner over, what goes into the process of deciding when you want to do that and trying to play small ball depending on what part of the game it might be?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, and I love that that our fans are thinking about that, and we've actually done it. We've done it at times. We actually won a couple games, and we won a game about two or three weeks ago where we got two bunts down in the same inning. Some of the factors that come into that are like who the hitters are, who the guys are on base. You know, you have to be aware of what other team's defense does, you know, because they know it's a situation we're going to bunt. So if we got a situation where, let's say, Rowdy or Grandal's at first, guys that don't run as well, and we know that team is defensively really aggressive and they're going to charge hard because we got a bunt, we're probably going to be bunting into maybe a double play or bunting into a situation where they get the lead runner out anyway. But I do think we will look for situations on that, not only to bunt, but to hit and run, to make sure that we can try to get those, you know, try to get as many scoring opportunities as possible. And I do think that's really important and something we are looking at. But it's either personnel-based or what the score is based are the two easiest answers.
Well, there you have it. The texter, that was a very good question. We'd be remiss if I didn't at least ask the requisite every week, Paul Skeens. What you saw from him Saturday, he didn't – it's scary. He didn't have his quote-unquote best stuff, and he still pretty much dominated a really good lineup.
Yeah, well, I think the thing we saw on Sunday – or on Saturday, excuse me, is the fact that, just to your point, the first three innings he really didn't have his best stuff. He looked a little bit out of sync with his delivery. You know, he and Oscar had a really good conversation. I think after the third, he got back in sync. And to your point, his weapons are so good, even when he's out of sync a little bit, he was still really good. Now, in this case, you know, he made some pitches. Triola made a really nice play, or Cruz made a really nice play on a double play ball to get us out of an inning. So there were some factors there that he had to make pitches, and then he was able to lock it in mid-game, which is a really good sign for a major league pitcher.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And it's amazing. He's what, 8-9 starts now into his career, and he's already able to do things like that. So, well, Derek, thank you as always for joining us. We will do it again next Tuesday, and of course, good luck this week against two really good opponents.
All right, sounds good. You guys have a great week.
All right, there you have it, Derek Shelton, who is always very, you know, gracious. And the thing about it is, City Limits, he'll answer any question you ask him.
Yeah, he will, and I liked his answer there on the small ball idea. And, you know, he might get a single, walk, whatever it might be, just to get a runner over. And talking about some of these games that the Pirates have been in, it seems like a lot of the Paul Skenes games have been close, especially the Atlanta game on Saturday, and just trying to find ways to manufacture runs, stolen bases, bunting runners over. So was curious to hear his thoughts on them.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and really, the last Tuesday, if you remember the game in Cincinnati, they did a lot of that stuff.
They did.
Ended up scoring 9 runs.
Rowdy Tellez stole a base.
What's that?
Rowdy Tellez stole
a base.
That's
right. Rowdy Tellez stole a base. You had, who was it that went first to third on a play that was, you know, that normally guys would go first to second. You know, they were aggressive on the base paths, and they tried to make something happen. So we'll have to see. It's going to be very interesting, though. Like we talked about with Destiny's Child.
Yeah, and the aggressive wins. I mean, when you're on the bases, you obviously can't be too aggressive and run into outs. But the fact of the matter is, you got to find ways to manufacture runs. And in this stretch of games against St. Louis you're throwing Mitch Keller out there. Jared Jones is going Wednesday and Martin Perez on Thursday. You should take 2 out of 3. At home against a team that you're chasing. And then the Mets come to town, who have been absolutely on fire since Grimace threw out the first pitch for the Mets and has basically saved their season. And then you have Milwaukee. So, as we've touched on before, 6-4, even if you're 7-3, you're probably in a wild card position by the end of the Milwaukee series, probably by the end of the Chicago series. If it goes the other way, then you're talking about a big time. Well, maybe not big time, but you're talking about selling pieces at the deadline more than buying.
Right, right. I mean, that's it's just one of those things where if you're talking about selling pieces, that's one of those things where if you're talking about selling pieces, it is kind of interesting from the standpoint of I think fans will not go for it. Like, I think you could trade Grandal, nobody would care. I think you could probably trade Sawinski. Nobody would care. But you trade Chapman.
There'll
be people
great.
That will not like that.
I still think Sawinski, there are some believers in him.
But my point is, you know, he's an extra piece at that point. You know, Martin Perez, if he has a couple of good starts and you trade him, I think people will not be happy with that either.
No, I think he's probably more of a bullpen piece. I mean, I'd like to see Luis Ortiz make another start. He was terrific in Cincinnati through 6 innings. But I think they're going to do pretty well in these next two series. Milwaukee is what concerns me a little bit. And then you have the White Sox on the road, one of the worst teams in baseball. This could be a really good stretch for them.
Right. No question about it. I mean, that's the biggest thing. It's just one of those things where I just have to laugh. And I feel like it comes along at a time when the Pirates really have an opportunity to sort of captivate the audience here. You know what I mean? The Penguins are now they're nowhere close to being contenders. I guess the Steelers are really intriguing this year because of all the moves they made in the offseason. But like the Pirates, if they just got hot for like 15 games.
And they haven't yet.
They haven't
and
done that yet.
The laws of probability show just in 162-game season,
right,
it's going to happen at some point. And now you can't just pick when it's going to be, but it would be very ideal if it happened now, and then it'd be a completely different National League standings.
Right, exactly. Well, my point about that is, you know, this week was a lot easier with Derek because, you know, there's a number of good things that happened. You know, people wanted me to ask about Andy Haynes. Why? We've asked about it 5 weeks in a row.
Nothing's going to change.
Nothing is going to change with that. And here's the other thing. We talk about lineups, and I get a kick out of all these people that say, oh, well, you should ask about the lineups. Okay, well, here's the thing. First of all, outside of the Braves, every team in baseball changes their lineups every day. It's the way baseball is played now. They all have analytics. They all have, you know, all these matchups. They all have performance charts. They all have the same crap and do it the same way. Outside of the Braves, who seem to play the same lineup mostly every day, that's how baseball is played. That's number one. Number two, until Sunday when Joey Bart got active, okay, you were either going to play DeLay or Grandal. That's basically shuffling the chairs on the deck of the Titanic, isn't it? Pick one. I don't care. Right?
Yeah, there's not a lot of offensive substance there
at
all.
They both stink. Okay? Rowdy Tellez got hot. They played Tellez more at first. Connor Joe cooled off. Rowdy Tellez got hot. He played. What are we talking about here? You played the hot guy. Right? Your best option at second is Nick Gonzalez. Your best option at short is O'Neill Cruz. At third base, you're choosing between Cabrian Hayes and Triola. You know, Cabrian Hayes isn't exactly hitting the cover off the ball, but guess what? He's I don't know. I mean, he's Mike Schmidt. Wasn't Mike Schmidt? He's a great hitter compared to Triola. So you're playing the right guys there. In the outfield, you have Reynolds. The other two positions, you either got to play Joe if he's not playing first, Oliveras, Sawinski. You're probably playing two of those guys and Michael A. Taylor. That's shuffling the deck of the chairs. Shuffling the chairs of the deck of the Titanic is what that is.
I mean, you know McCutcheon's going to bat leadoff. You know Brian Reynolds is going to bat second. Everything other than that. They face a lefty. O'Neill Cruz is not batting third.
Right, right. My point is...
Your point is, who is playing?
Where are these magical answers?
Right.
You know, and I don't want to hear about, well, you know, some guy that's in AAA. Oh, what about Peguero? What about Palacios? What about these guys? Okay, bring them up. But, I mean, we're really staking the future of the Pirates this year on Peguero and Palacios?
I mean, we saw G1 Bay come up.
And G1 Bay
came
up, right. It didn't work out. Sawinski came up and it hasn't worked out. I mean, at the end of the day, what are we talking about here? You can only play the guys you have. Now, Bart is back. You hope with Bart and Tellez. You hope Gonzalez starts hitting again and Cabrian Hayes gets a little bit hot. Now, all of a sudden, those five positions, you actually have a reasonably good bat.
You see, they shut down Henry Davis.
Yeah.
He was 0-5, yeah. 0-6 with five strikeouts. It's coming back from the concussion, and he's shut down.
Right.
Still trying to get him back.
But my point is Bart is back, and he's a better hitter than those guys, I mean, by far. So if you have Tellez continue to hit, Gonzalez gets a little bit hot again like he was in May, and Cabrian Hayes gets a little bit hot, well, you know what? Now you've got an infield catcher position. You know, I mean, those are not bad.
How about Brian Reynolds? The stat that I found today. In July, over the last two seasons, he's a 200 hitter.
Right.
Even 200. After crushing the ball, it was 268. I think it was last June, and he hit 333 the June before that. So he historically cools off in August. Hopefully it's not that monumental.
Well, again, yes. But my point is...
Or in July.
Right. My point is, though, if you get Cabrian Hayes Gonzalez going a little bit, you know, Gonzalez back going like he was in May, Cabrian Hayes like he was at the second half of last season, right? Tellez just sort of maintains. He's obviously not going to hit, you know, 500 or whatever he hit in June. But if he just sort of maintains and hits reasonably well, and Bart does what he's done since he's been here, okay, now you've improved the offense, you know, there to a degree. Now, all of a sudden, if you get – that's why I don't agree with Destin. I think if you get another bat or two, you know, you're not that far away.
No, and Charrington continues to hamper that the improvements have to come internal, which basically means, look, we have 20 or so bats in the organization that can improve, which is going to be more beneficial than getting two or three bats on the open market, which I don't think is him saying we're not going to go get somebody, but it's just kind of leading the way that it's got to be the Connor Joes, the Henry Davises, the Jack Sawinskis, the Michael A. Taylors that have to actually hit like they're supposed to.
And I think the other part of it is he also is setting everybody up to know they're not going to sign any major They're not going to make any major acquisitions.
Not Vlad Guerrero or Luis Robert, no.
No, they're not. I think they're pretty much setting everybody up for that. And that's just the way it is. So to me, I feel like, you know, when you look at what Derek Shelton is trying to piece together every night, again, people get mad because, oh, I can't believe Olivares and Michael A. Taylor in the lineup. Oh, no, another night with Sawinski and Michael A. Okay, well, you got to play two probably of them. You got to play two of the four. So if you want to tell me you played Connor Joe over those guys, okay, fine. It's Connor Joe. You know what I'm saying? But when Connor Joe is by far the best option out of four, that tells you about the other three.
Yeah, you got problems.
And so you almost every night are probably going to have to play two of those guys. I'm talking about two of the other three. On a night when you have Connor Joe at first, guess what? You got to play two of those guys. So you have two essentially automatic outs in your lineup to begin with. Until Sunday when Bart came back, you had to play either DeLay or Grandal every night. So you had basically three bats that were bad in your lineup every single night, no matter what. Okay? And now, you know, Cabrian Hayes had the little back thing flare up for a little bit there, so you had to play Triola some. Now you got four. I mean, I guess there are guys, you know, if you want to tell me Peguero and Palacios could come up and be better, fine. But, I mean, we're really staking the future of this season on those two guys. But again, if you go out and get an outfielder that can hit, play him every day. You know, preferably somebody with a little bit of power. And what's the kid's name from the Marlins, De La Cruz?
Yeah.
You know, he's got 15 home runs. Put him in this lineup. And now all of a sudden you can move some of the guys down that need to be moved down. You know? I mean, I don't think they're that far away.
And a lot of it's based on fit. Like, well, remember when they got Travis Snyder in 2013, obviously not a big name. Marlon Byrd wasn't too big of a name, but fit the role that they needed him to be and was the type of hitter that the lineup needed.
Right.
And that's the type of hitter that they have to find because they do not want to trade Bubba Chandler, Anthony Salamedo, or any of those guys for a Luis Robert. It's very unlikely as much as we'd like to see it.
Absolutely. It's just one of those things. It's just one of those things that we are, you know, this idea that somehow there's all these great, tough questions. I mean, we've asked them all. You know, we've asked them all. So the reality is they need better players. And that really probably isn't Derek Shelton's, you know, domain. Now, if we had Ben Cherington on, it'd be different. Because there'd be a lot of questions we would ask him, right, that have a lot to do with the personnel and the decision-making. But Shelton doesn't have hardly anything to do with a lot of that stuff. So, anyway, I digress. I thought Derek Shelton did, you know, answered all the questions. He does every week. He's not afraid of any question. He's, you know, willing to answer any of them. You know? It's just one of those things that is, I don't know. It's always a pet peeve of mine. Really, it is. Let's see. Where are we at? Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.net. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And, of course, the fan outline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing HVAC provider for over 50 years. I just saw this come across City Limits. Did you see Andrew Filippone just tweeted a picture of the hot dog eating contest trophy?
Yes, I did. Have you heard what the line is set for me and how many hot dogs at the...
when is this taking place?
Tomorrow, actually. But the sports book who picked the lines for producers making eating hot dogs has me at 2.5, over under 2.5 hot dogs.
Okay, so remind me, who is in this thing?
It's all the producers. It's me, Donnie, Nick Callis, Joel Nelson. I think Tom T-Bird is participating, and Charlie Borges.
What about Finley?
I don't think Finley is participating in it.
Okay.
And the favorite is Callis. He's the betting favorite.
What didn't he say something like? What did he say? He had a line last week. I'm large and in charge or something.
Something like that.
So are they going to be normal hot dogs? Or are they going to be the watered down buns that you have to slide down your throat?
No, I think they're normal hot dogs. Normal hot dogs, normal buns, just like you're at a 4th of July cookout, and whoever eats as many hot dogs wins. I'm not a big eater anyway. I don't eat a lot, just naturally. When I eat dinner, lunch, whatever. Breakfast is probably the most that I eat. But I should be able to eat three. If I don't eat three, I will be truly disappointed in myself because I ate three at the Pirate game at Dollar Dog Night not too long ago. So I should be fine with three.
So can you eat three or four? Can you eat six?
I can't eat six. I don't think.
You think Callis can eat six?
I think Alice might be able to get to six, yeah. There's a potential I can get to five. Six is maybe pushing it.
See, my...
And this is just me being realistic.
I'm going to go with a very, very, very off-the-board kind of pick here. Are you ready?
Okay.
I think that Nick Callis is going to be very overrated in this contest. I think people look at his size and they think that he's going to be able to...
He'll be able to crush hot dogs.
I don't think he's going to be able to do it. And I think that Donnie Football, when he first started, but now after Awaken 180, I think he's going to struggle as well. My money is on Nelly.
Charlie
Borges is his actual name. Nelly. I think he's going to be sneaky good at this thing.
I do too, and I think Joel Nelson might as well.
And Nelly's got the kind of personality where I think he's going to be sneaky good. I think he's going to embrace this, and I think he's going to crush a bunch of hot dogs.
Intern Dom is also participating.
Well, we already saw how weak he is with the eating contest. Remember when...
he had to cop out and try to pay his way out of it.
Remember that Wendy's thing?
Oh, yeah.
That Wendy's challenge he tried? I mean, I don't even eat like I used to eat, and I could have done that.
I don't think he ate half of it.
I don't think he did. I mean, I was like, I don't even eat that much anymore. I can't because of, when I also did Awaken 180, but more than that, I lost before the Awaken 180, I lost like 160 pounds or something. I lost 60 pounds. I was a 300 pounder at one point, but I couldn't eat. But even I could have ate that Wendy's thing. It didn't seem like it was that much. It was like two burgers and some chicken nuggets and fries or something. I was like, why are we even including him? We've already seen he can't do it.
Two burgers, fries, and nuggets. That's it.
It was like two burgers, fries, nuggets, and a what do they call it? Blizzard.
When you add in the frosty. When you add in the frosty, that's a lot of filling.
Yeah, but still, it wasn't that much food. I was like, I could have done that
for a guy that's like soaking wet, 130 pounds.
Yeah, but still,
short guy, not big in stature.
I'm just saying, so why are we including him? We've already seen he can't get it done.
He's Pony's guy. He's got to be in it.
Well, so we have Nelly is my favorite. If I had to put betting odds on, I would put Nelly as the favorite.
Charlie Borges. Because Nelly is Charlie Borges and Joel Nelson, according to
Charlie
Starkey.
Charlie Borges, yes. Not Nelson. Not Joel. Joel's going to do okay.
I think Joel will be fine.
He'll be fine.
Charlie Borges got a good shot.
I think Charlie's going to crush it.
I still think Callis is going to find a way to win.
So you're going to just basically try and beat the 2.5 line, right?
Well, that's my first goal. If I beat that, I'll be happy. But if I do win it all, I will be both surprised but very pleased with my performance.
All right, so this is tomorrow at 3, right?
Tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
Tomorrow at 3, the hot dog eating contest. There you have it. Anyway, we are way over, so we got to get to a break. It's 93.7 The Fan.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I got bad data from you. Just so you know.
Yeah, somebody else just let me know about this as well. Intern Dom has let us know about a couple of participants in the hot dog eating contest that have dropped out. Is that what you were going to bring up?
Is he one of them?
No, he is not.
Because Charlie Borges told me he's not in it. The guy I just picked to win it, he said he's not in it either.
That's what I just heard, and that is completely new information to me as of less than 10 minutes ago.
Anyone else drop out?
Joel Nelson is out.
Why is he not doing it?
I don't know.
So that leaves what? You?
Me, Donnie, Callis, intern Dom. And if anybody else would like to step up to the plate.
Wasn't there one other person that you had said?
Sean Myers. That's who we left out.
He's definitely in?
I think he's in. I don't know. There's been like a huge list that's been posted or anything, an official list. The official starting lineup.
Well, now, you know, it changes everything. Now it changes everything. Because the two guys I thought that were going to be sleeper picks were both the Nellies. And now they're out.
Seems like it.
So I'm going to have to say probably, man, I might have to go with Nicholas Harry Callis.
Callis is probably going to win. One texter, Callis is going to crush 12 of them. Other texter, no one will get over 7.
I would agree with the second texter. I think the winning score is going to be 6 or 7.
6 or 7.
I guess I don't know that you and Dom are going to get past like 3 or 4. Right?
Yeah, I mean, that's why I like that 2.5 line. The lines are set, not changing. And somebody asked if there's an actual site we can bet on these. No.
Here's the other thing I will tell you. Where are these hot dogs coming from?
That, I don't know. I have been given no ground rules about anything. All I know is that it's at 3 o'clock, it's here, and I have to be somewhere. That's all I know.
In other words, like, is there going to be somebody standing out front with a grill cooking them? Are they going to be just thrown into the microwave?
Into the microwave. I hope they're grilled.
So here's the thing. If they were grilled, okay, grilled, not burnt, but grilled, so they were, you know, smoke, you know, on
yep.
that outdoor, you know, smoke taste added to the hot dog. That, you know, I think hot dogs on a grill are so much better than hot dogs made any other way. So if they were on the grill, I could eat 3. I could eat 3 of them. That's it.
So if they're not on the grill, you could only eat 2?
1 or 2. I mean, I just wouldn't have as much interest in it. Hamburgers on the grill, again, I could probably eat 3 or 4. That's the most.
3 or 4.
That's it.
You know. When I go to a cookout, I like to eat 1 hamburger, 1 hot dog, and right. 2 pieces of kibasi. That's my spread.
I eat 1 hamburger, 1 hot dog, and some potato salad, and I'm good.
Yep.
Wow. But, you know, back in the day, I used to be able to really eat.
I believe it.
I told you. There was a place in Greensburg called Sideshow Pizza. Okay? Tuesday night, Thursday night, all-you-can-eat pizza. On Tuesday, it was all-you-can-eat pizza for $1.99. Thursday was all-you-can-eat and drink. Of course, you know, what it was just fountain drinks. There was no alcohol. It was
right.
Just fountain drinks. All-you-can-eat and drink for $2.99. So one night, me and 3 of my friends took the challenge, and we got it in. 4 of us took down 100 pieces of pizza.
I can't even imagine.
My one buddy ate about 36.
How many did you eat? Like 20 slices?
28.
Yeah, 28 slices?
Yeah, between the two of us, he ate 36 and I ate 28. That put us over the 60 mark. And one other guy ate like 21, 22, and the other guy ate like 20.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we crushed 100 slices of pizza.
And how did your stomach feel after that?
Well, back then I could eat. Listen, 17, 18, 19, 20-year-old Paul Zeiss, would smoke any one of you in any of these eating contests.
I believe it. I mean, look at me, Paul. Like,
but
do you think I'm eating 20 pieces? Really?
That's how I was. I was skinny as a rail. I couldn't gain weight. You know, I lifted weights. I tried. My metabolism was so high.
Mine too.
I was a swimmer in high school for a while. I'd be on the way home from like a long swimming meet. You know, like say we were at like Connellsville or Uniontown or somewhere where we had to stop. You know, for a McDonald's or something afterward. It'd be nothing for me to eat 7 Big Macs.
We have some info from intern Dom. He said that it's being provided by a restaurant that the restaurant's going to be grilling them outdoors and then bringing them in.
Hey, I might stay just to eat some hot dogs. Like, I might just say, hey, make me a couple of those just for me.
At this rate, there might be some left over.
Yeah, but they'll be cold by then. I want them coming real, you know? So, but, yeah, no, it would be nothing, city limits, for me to eat 7 Big Macs in a sitting. No issues at all. No issues at all.
That thought has never even crossed my mind before.
I used to go to Dunkin' Donuts, and I would get, between me and my buddy, we would get 3 dozen donuts. I'd eat 18, and he'd eat 18. You know, we'd crush them while we were sitting there playing Madden or Tecmo Bowl or whatever we were playing video games. We'd crush it. I'd crush 18 donuts, and then I would be hungry again in an hour. You know what I mean?
I can crush Oreos.
Yeah.
That's probably the best.
But back then, like I said, that probably tells you about why I have so many health issues now. Because back then, I guarantee I'd have smoked any of you in any food eating contest, provided I like the food.
I'll take notes for how I should eat and not to eat for later on.
I one time on a challenge, I ate 30 plus pancakes in a sitting. It was a challenge, and I could have probably got to 40 if I really wanted to push it.
So if anyone punished you for a fantasy football punishment, you had to sit in the Waffle House for 24 hours unless you eat all the waffles,
yes.
You'd be out of there in an hour.
Right. I mean, yeah, exactly. I mean, I did all kinds of crazy things like that. We used to eat, I'll tell you, this is a little bit different, but you know the game Quarters?
Yes.
Okay. When we were in high school and we get bored, we would play Quarters with, are you ready for this? Warm grape Kool-Aid without the sugar in it.
No.
Yes. That was always good for at least 2 of us throwing up.
Playing with fire.
Have you ever drank warm Kool-Aid?
No.
Warm Kool-Aid. So what we would do is we would get big, you know, the big jugs of water, and then we'd get those Kool-Aid packets that were unsweetened.
Yeah, just pour them all in.
Pour them in, and the water we'd let sit there, it was warm, and it was unsweetened. And the thing is, like, say it was like we had like a 3 or a 5 gallon bucket or 3 or 5 gallon or whatever it was. Say it was like a 3 gallon thermos.
Yeah.
So say the packets of Kool-Aid was like 1 packet for 1 gallon of water, right? We would only put 1.5 packets in for 3 gallons. So not only was it warm, not only was it not sweetened, the flavor was just kind of enough to, you know what I mean? Where you have to, you know what I'm saying? It was weak. It was so disgusting.
It makes me think of that crap and stuff that they have to eat on Survivor during a challenge. Here's your spider underneath the little table that they take up.
So that's what we did. It was absolutely ridiculous. But that was a game of Quarters that guaranteed 2 of us were thrown up, at least. Because I don't know if you've ever drank warm, unsweetened Kool-Aid, but it is brutal, especially the grape flavor.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.